It's the Jeep 85-year celebration event. 85 years of daring to ask, what if? Like, what if we didn't sacrifice capabilities for comfort? Or what if nothing on the road ahead could hold us back? For decades, we've chased every what if, why not, who, where, and how. And the answer? Because we can. Right now, get 0% financing for up to 84 months on select models. Plus, eligible customers get $1,850 in Jeep Anniversary Bonus Cash on all Jeep models. See your Jeep dealer for details.
So let's talk about statistics. I love stats. Did you know Connor McDavid is second all-time for most points before the age of 30? And he actually still has 35 games before he hits the big 3-0. But here's the thing. Is he ever going to be number one? Well, for him to catch Wayne Gretzky, over those 35 games, he would need to average 24 points a game. Seems unlikely. Okay, now that I've lured you in with hockey stats, let's talk about political stats. When are 438,568 signatures not really 438,568 signatures? Well, that's the number of John Hancocks that Elections Alberta confirmed Thomas Lukaszczyk submitted with his Forever Canadian petition. But EA then used a random statistical sampling model with 95% confidence level, and suddenly 34,000 signatures disappeared, about 8% of them, into thin air. No worries for Lukaszczyk, though, because he cleared the necessary threshold with ease. But that same formula was applied to Corb Lund's Water Not Coal petition, and poof, 12.5% of his names vanished, enough to sink it. And as Elections Alberta tabulates the Stay Free Alberta petition, how many of the claimed 300,000 signatures will be swept away? So indeed, it is time for us to do a segment on statistics and try and get a layman's version of what the heck is happening over there. Professor of Statistics at the University of Toronto, Jeffrey Rosenthal, is the man who's going to try and help us crack the code today. Thanks for hopping on, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Yeah, so I'd love a layman's version of what Alberta Elections Alberta is doing here. When we say a random statistical sampling model with 95% confidence level, what the heck are we talking about, and where did this come from?
Yeah, well, there's a few issues there. So, I mean, what it comes down to is, you know, they get these petitions with a whole bunch of signatures, and they want to verify them, but I guess they don't want to take the time and effort to try to contact all those hundreds of thousands of people. So instead, they contact a random sample of them. Now, that can be a good thing to do. If you take a random sample, then that can give you an idea. It's just like what we do with public opinion polls, election polls, that kind of thing. And they can be pretty accurate, but they have to be understood correctly. And in particular, there's a question of how big is the sample size and how accurate is the estimate that you get. And there were a few issues with that in this case.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the flaws that you see with the random sampling process here by Elections Alberta. Where do you think they maybe went astray?
Yeah, so I'm talking about the Water Not Coal petition, which is the one I was asked about, and I looked into it. And so what they did is they had to assess almost 200,000 signatures, and they took a sample of just 384 of the random people. And, you know, that sounds pretty small, but, you know, I believe in random sampling, and 384 isn't so terrible. That leads to what we call a margin of error, which is equal to 5%. And what that means is that if you take a sample of 384 people and you look at what fraction of them turned out to be valid, then the true fraction, if you had done all the 200,000 or whatever, would be pretty close to that fraction. It would be within about plus or minus 5% of it, 19 times out of 20. So you can be pretty confident that you get the right answer within about 5%, which is pretty good, but that doesn't mean you get the answer exactly right.
And so in this case here, it sounds like you had some concerns surrounding those 384 people that were contacted. Some of them were only contacted once, and you think that in of itself might have skewed the real number here.
Yeah, so there's sort of two different problems that I have with their procedure. And the first one is what we were talking about with the margin of error. So they took their sample of 348, and they concluded that 12.2% of them were not valid. So they said 12.2% of the signatures should be thrown off of the count. But the thing is, they only really knew that within plus or minus 5%. So they really knew that the fraction of signatures that were not valid was somewhere between 7.2% and 17.2%. So if you really want to throw signatures off and you want to be confident, you could only throw off 7.2% of them. And if they only threw off that many, then the number of signatures would have cleared the threshold. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is what you just alluded to now, which is that in order to get this, this 384 sample, which is what they said they wanted, they actually had to call, apparently, a total of 853 people, over twice as many, because a lot of people don't answer the phone, as we all well know. And they said, well, if somebody didn't answer, that's okay. We just moved on to the next person. And that kind of sounds okay. But then if you think about it, the people who don't answer the phone, well, most of them probably were legitimate, whereas the ones that the phone number wasn't valid or there was a problem, those ones they all caught, and they all said, well, those people aren't valid. So it ended up kind of skewing the results into saying that any number that's not right, we're for sure going to count that. But the numbers that are right and people don't answer the phone, we'll just move on to the next one, which maybe that number is not valid. So I explained it in more detail in written form, but the basic idea is that it skews it and it biases a bit, and you'll end up getting probably a higher count of people who are not valid.
It's interesting because I didn't mention the two petitions that have been counted by Elections Alberta here over the course of the last several months. The Forever Canadian petition lost about 8% of its total signatures following the sampling model that we're talking about. Corb Lund was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 12.5%. I thought stats was supposed to be a science. Why is there such a discrepancy?
Well, I mean, of course, a different petition could have a different result. Maybe it depends on how the people collected the signatures. Were they really careful to only collect signatures that were valid, or were they just kind of going willy-nilly? So, I'm not saying it has to be the same answer for every different petition, but what I am saying is if you're going to do a sample for that petition, you better do it carefully, and you better understand that if you're only sampling 384 people, there's going to be a margin of error, and before you start kicking people off of the count, you better take into account that margin of error. You can't just ignore it.
Yeah, so, I mean, is it safe to say then, I mean, we're still waiting on the numbers for this Stay Free Alberta petition. They claim to have over 300,000 signatures. Is it safe to say, given what we've seen with this petition, given what we've seen with the discrepancy next to the Forever Canadian petition, that that could present a whole different number entirely?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think it depends how they collected the signatures, but if they really had over 300,000, I think you said. Well, the threshold, if I understand, is just 177,000 and something. So if they're that far above it, then, probably they're not going to kick off that many signatures, and they'll probably be okay.
Yeah, if they kicked off 130,000 signatures, I think there would be more than a few eyebrows raised on that one right there. Lastly, before I get you go, because I want to make sure that we put your hard work and make sure we get the proper number. What do you think the real number would be if this had been done in a statistical way that you believe would be accurate?
Yeah, so I write about the two different errors, as I told you, and just taking the first one about that margin of error, really just kicking off the 7.2%, if you do that and work it through, then you get a number of valid signatures of 181,000 and something, which is, again, above the 177,000. Or with the bias sampling one, with that, moving on from the ones who don't answer, that one's a little trickier, but I put through some reasonable scenarios. And I say under a reasonable assumption, you could get up to, say, 179,000, which is, again, above the threshold. So I feel like if you made either one of these two corrections that I think they should have made, then that would have been enough to push this one over the threshold.
Well, I got to say, Jeffrey, you have made this conversation a lot more palatable than it probably could have been. Statistics 101, basically talking to the layman like me. Thanks for coming on and making sense of this, because I think a lot of folks have been a little bit confused about what the heck's going on here. So definitely helping to clear the air on that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
There you go. Jeffrey Rosenthal, professor of statistics at the University of Toronto. Just doing a little bit of a dive into the formula that's used by Elections Alberta to deal with these citizen-driven petitions and their collection and verification process.